welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress. You see, what should come out of us all the time, me and you alike, is to have the Word of God crop up in our spirit and come out of our mouth. One of the reasons the promises don't work is because of a lack of Scripture. Say a lack of Scripture. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. There's always something keeping us back from putting the Word as a priority. I know that. I can talk to somebody and the first three or four sentences out of their mouth tell me they're where they are. And it ain't good. Jesus' name is truth. But what we want to do is try all the things in the natural. Why don't people tithe and give offerings? Here's what the Lord said to me about giving tithes and offerings and stewardship. He said, those that don't are in pride because they think they can do better than him. I don't know anybody who's done as good as he has. They ain't going to get my money. People used to do that. Look at the kind of car they're driving. Back then it was a Chevy. I drive a Toyota. What's different? I still remember when my grandfather, who pastored a church, they were celebrating so many years in ministry, 1957, don't laugh. They were buying him a brand new car that cost, I think, $1,500, black four-door Chevy. My father would come home and tell me something. They were arguing over whether or not they should put an AM radio in the car. How silly. How foolish. See, when we don't give the way the Scriptures say to give, we are in a place of pride. The Bible says, as long as the seed gets into the ground, what's going to happen? Say, expect a harvest to come. Say, a harvest to come. Say it again. I expect a harvest to come. In Mark 4, you know where that is. It said, the Word of God is the seed. That answers my question. So anything I put into the ground, a promise of God, that's in the Word of God, I have an expectancy, say expectancy, for a harvest. Say, I expect a harvest. See, the kingdom of God, say this with me, the kingdom of God works from the inside out. What goes on in this world works from the outside in. Totally contrary to the Word of God. Say, from the inside. Well, who's on the inside of us? Jesus is. The healer's in us. The Holy Ghost is in us. So if we operate from the inside out, the first thing that will come out of our mouth is the Scriptures and the Word of God. When somebody, quote, offends us, we didn't know we were offended because the kingdom of God works from the inside out. When you live in the kingdom principles that Jesus talked about in Matthew's gospel, say, I operate from the inside out. So what's in us is going to come out. If somebody does us wrong, our response should be out of the kingdom of God. There have been times in my life where people have ripped me off, and my wife and I were talking about this morning. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do what I always do and what you always do. I'm going to release what this man did and say that seed that I've released to this man is going to come back to me. Now, I could reach on the outside and do what? Well, I'll fix them. That's not God. That's not the Spirit of God. The expectation will be for the enemy to operate and to do something against what faith will do in the kingdom of God. Say, the kingdom of God is within me. Now, the strange thing, the Lord led me to a scripture first, if you don't mind. Luke's gospel, can you go there for a minute? Say, expectancy is of the Spirit. Expectancy is of the Spirit. Luke's gospel. I'll show you what the Lord showed me. It was very interesting because I'd never seen it this way. But in light of the kingdom of God, Luke chapter 9. And if you don't mind, look at verses 12 through 17. Now the days began to decline, and the 12 came and said to him, dismiss the crowd, send them away, so that they may go to the neighboring hamlets and villages and the surrounding country and find lodging and get a supply of provisions, for we are here, listen now, in an uninhabited, barren, solitary place. That's not the kingdom of God. That's the flesh talking. That's what religion says. Had Jesus been spending time and they saw miracle after miracle, but listen, they still didn't get it. How long have we been saved, some of us, in church, how many years? And we still don't get it. So what came out of the mouths of the disciples? We can't, it's getting dark in the place. We can't even go to the farmer next door and rob some corn. There's nothing here. See, that's sometimes how we talk. Because when we lift up circumstances above the word, it's called exalting. Say, exalting the problem above the source or the answer. Say, exalting. Now, I looked up the word exalting. Let me see if I can find it. Here we go. The word exalt means this. It means to elevate in rank, honor, or power. When we talk about something we're going through, could be very difficult. It could be something that's small, but it's a speed bump in our life. Listen, how do we exalt the problem? We speak more about the problem than we do about the word. If you have a child in your family and they're always in trouble and always rebellious and that's all we talk about, what are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? And the children that are doing well and listening to us as parents, they get pushed aside. Ever been there? When you exalt something above the word of God, you're opening the door for Satan to come in. Because that's deception gone to seed. But if we say what the word says, well, what if not? Oh, hang on, there it goes. No what ifs, no buts or anything else. We say the word, and the promises, according to Corinthians, is yes and amen. They're already done. Joshua and Caleb stuck with God, and God stuck with Joshua and Caleb. What happened to the rest of them? James, how big was the wilderness? How big an area? Ballpark. 100, 150 miles big. Do you think you and I could find a way out instead of spending 40 years wandering around? But that's what the enemy will do. He'll keep us in that same little place, have us wander around in there, but God still loved them in their shoes and we're out in 40 years. Today we leave the store and have to come back because we got a hole in them already. So when you and I talk like everybody else is talking, that's an impossibility, what are we going to do? Jesus was trying to teach them the principles of the kingdom. The principles of the kingdom are not outside the word, but they're in us, and that's where the word is. Are you ready now? But he said to them, who did? Jesus. I love this. The King James has said this way. But he said to them, give them something to eat. Did he hear what they said? Did you get that? Did you get that, Martin? Did he hear what they said? What did he do? Ignored it. How many of you like to ignore some things people say about you? It ain't easy. Jesus did it. And where does Jesus live? Guess what? He teaches classes starting with 101, how to ignore them. What did he do? Oh, you're right. I've been teaching all day and haven't had water and the heat and I didn't have anything to eat either. Yeah, I don't. What did he do? He spoke what the Father told him that morning in prayer. Where was his expectation? Not in what they said, but in what he said. If the kingdom of God is within us, there's an expectation from the word that will supersede and overshadow anything anyone else will ever say. I live in an economy within an economy. I don't live by what goes on in the world. I live by the economy of God's word that says he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. That's where we all live. Something's coming up in the spirit here. God is trying to say something. This is how we should be living all the time. Here comes the report from wherever. And what happens, and Jesus said this, why do you spend so much time worrying about tomorrow when tomorrow isn't here yet, and then you can't even get through today? He said, today, I'll give you enough to handle today. Well, this is going to happen. No. Some of you are too young to remember Y2K. Did the lights go on over whatever country's first? Did you all survive? When you listen to that stuff, you can be fear-stricken. I'm not fear-stricken. I'm truth-stricken with the word of God and Jesus, because the word says he will take care of everything that we have need for. But when you listen to the world and what they have to say, well, the economists were wrong. They're all wrong. Because God's in control of planet Earth, not a bunch of folks who sit behind a desk and sip some coffee and come up with things based on the knowledge they have. I have the knowledge of the word of God that if he said it, it's going to come to pass. Glory to God. But he said to them, you give them food to eat. Listen now. They said, we have no more than five loaves and two fishes. unless we go to and buy food for all the crowd. Look at 14. For there were about 5,000 men, and we know 5,000 probably, they come up with probably between 15 and 20 with women and children. And Jesus said to his disciples, have them sit down, recline in table groups, companies of 50 each. What was Jesus getting ready for? Here's what the Lord said to me. He was getting ready for a harvest. 50 is the number of Pentecost, the number of Jubilee. Why didn't he say 49? Why didn't he say 52? I really don't care. Whatever number he said, it would have come out good. But 50, listen, he was preparing their hearts for a supernatural miracle. 50 means a place of Jubilee, which means freedom, hope, expectancy. There's so much on Jubilee, you'd have to study that yourself. But when Jesus said that, he was talking out of the realm of the Spirit. Say the Spirit, not the flesh. Why did he say that? Because he had been with the Father. You and I will talk, kingdom talk, and the Word when we're with God first. When we're not with God first, and we've got to put on and find out what happened overnight in the news first, then we're giving precedence to what the world is saying rather than what the Word of God says. What needs to have preference and priority is what? Seek first. Well, I got six of you that agree with me. Seek, because I don't care if I'm stepping on your religious toes. If you got sacred cows, kick them out. Seek first the kingdom of God. Then everything else you have need of will fall into place. And they did so and made them all recline. And taking five loaves and two fishes, he looked up to heaven, praising God, gave thanks to them. And look at verse 16. Taking the five loaves, two fishes, he took up, looked up to heaven, and praising God, gave thanks and asked him to bless them to their use. Then he broke them and gave them to the disciples to place before the multitude. Look at 17. All the people ate and were satisfied. You see that in verse 17? 20,000 people were satisfied with what? Five loaves, two fish. Remember the lady who said, we only got a little bit of oil here? Because that's what she was seeing in the natural. What did she say? All I've got. See, all you and I have is enough for Jesus to do the miracle. So what did she do? She gathered everything she could from all the different neighbors and stuff. And what happened? Every time they put a pot, the oil came out. And when they came with the last jug, it stopped. How many of us think that it could still be going on today if they lived in a bigger neighborhood? What stops the flow of God's anointing in our lives? Our big mouth. Confession, and I'm in right here in Hebrews, confession means saying the same thing that God says. My wife catches me sometimes, and I thank her for that. I said, this is unbelievable. She said, no, it's believable. I have to shut my own mouth up. This is believable. Say, this is believable. I don't try to push the envelope when it comes to, well, God, if you meant that, why hasn't it happened? Because if we get into the Abraham syndrome, 25 years, and what God said hadn't come to pass, that's when we try to step in and help God out. God doesn't need our help. He needs our agreement.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus, because Jesus is alive. Jesus.